Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 88, and I am Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Peter from West Hollywood.
And Allison from Tarzana.
Welcome, guys.
Yo, yo.
And in the news this week, we just got word that Dexter has been renewed for 2 more seasons.
Yay!
I am ecstatic because this season's been great, but I'm like, I have no idea what else. I mean, like, it feels like they've done everything on Dexter.
Huh.
So yeah. There's that, but this season so far has been really good. So cool. I think thumbs up. Next, in the strange and slightly depressing news, was Community, which is a show on NBC, has been put on hiatus.
Like,
well, it's strange because Community has been doing just as well as all the other NBC shows as far as ratings. It's around the same place, but Community got put on hiatus for, like, so in January when all the shows come back, Community's not coming back. But they, I don't understand why. And yeah, I don't, you know, it's just, that's just weird.
When I had heard that Whitney, which I don't think is doing that great, but Whitney is supposedly going to be swapped out for another NBC show as a mid-season replacement. But Whitney's not being on hold, it's just moving to maybe Wednesday.
So, yeah, so that's just strange. Yeah, like, why not move Community? Because I think Community had, anyway.
Wait, I'm sorry. Whitney is being moved in favor of the... It's a show that is on the air. It's the one with Maya Rudolph. It's about the baby. Christina Applegate. It's actually not bad.
Up All Night?
Yes.
Oh.
They're thinking that would be a better fit because it's also about work. Because if you think of the Thursday shows, the comedies, they're usually about people that are either in a work or some kind of public environment. So Community,
okay.
The Office, Parks and Rec. So Whitney's just a sitcom about a relationship. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily fit in the same thing. So actually, Up All Night's getting way better reviews.
Right. And it's getting
better ratings. So it makes sense to move that to Thursday. But you're right, Community, especially because it's already, is this the third season?
Yeah.
It feels weird. I'm like, why are you, if they don't like the show anymore, why not just finish the season
and then you're cancel
done.
It, right?
So it's weird. I don't get it.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's strange. The other thing is that Prime Suspect, which is the show that I've raved about, apparently none of you guys are listening to me.
No, I like Prime Suspect.
It has been put on, they shut down production. And so basically, without saying it's canceled, it's basically canceled. But they're going to still air the episodes that they've shot.
So they've never said it's canceled.
They have not said it's canceled. What they have said is
unofficially.
When they shut down production, it's canceled.
Maybe they just finished their season and they're done for now.
No. When this, it said they shut down production. It didn't say, oh, they didn't renew. Because normally...
That's pretty much the death now.
As opposed to saying we've wrapped for the season.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all in the wording. So if they tell the actors, go home, that's not good.
It's weird. I don't think Prime Suspect is the best show ever, but I think Maria Bello's great. I like the New York energy. It's the kind of show to me, and obviously it's got the lineage of the Helen Mirren Prime Suspect and everything, and The Closer in a way. But I felt like, no, this isn't great, but it was the kind of show to me that I'm like, oh, well, this could totally be even better in the second season. So I kind of was hoping it wouldn't be canceled, you know.
Yeah.
Like, so.
But I thought the whole new credits thing was a cry for desperation.
Yeah, that was lame. That is lame. Yeah, I agree with that. That's not very good.
Oh, actually, I did. I just realized that I did have a bit of news thing. That did you hear that they're going to, they greenlighted a new version of the Munsters?
Oh.
No.
Huh.
Yes, I just read about that.
So I have news. Depending on when people hear this, Sunday night, Fox has their animation domination, and American Dad has a Buffy reunion going on. Sarah Michelle Gellar and Allison Hannigan are going to play two girls that are in love with Stan's son. So,
yeah, who is Seth Green?
Wait,
that's funny.
That is funny.
Wait, no, it's not.
Yes, it
no,
is.
No, that's Family Guy.
Oh, what a
Family Guy. This is American Dad. Because I was like, how did I not notice that? Yes, Seth Green, you're right, he's Family Guy. So, this is American Dad. But still, I'm very excited. I was like, oh, I was like, I can't wait. So, yeah, if you're a Buffy person, check that out.
All right. Well, it might be better than Ringer.
Well, I only watched the first episode of Ringer, so I can't say much. Allison, are you watching Ringer?
What?
Yeah, I am, actually. Don't ask me why. Well, actually, yeah, it's kind of one of those things that are just kind of hilariously bad, so you just keep watching it. It's just sort of addictively awful.
Yes. And they got nice clothes, so. Yeah.
And the clothes are fantastic.
so you've got that, you know, like, but.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I have to look forward to.
All right.
Let's move on to television. Homeland? And this week has been, oh my goodness, it was so good. Well, one, they did the whole unexpected of getting Brody and the chick, I forgot her name, getting them together. I did not see that coming. And not only do they have them together, they have them together for like a whole weekend, snuggled up together, and just like
dealing with them. That was bizarre. That was just so,
but it was so cool.
Weird and wrong.
Yeah, but in a good way, I thought.
Yeah, it was one of these things where it was all kinds of strange and weird, but I was really enjoying every minute of it, and you could see that this was not going to end well. I mean, every you could tell everything about her life just ends in a completely screwed up way, and this was headed for a crash from the beginning.
Well, I mean, yeah, her sleeping with him in the first place was a colossal mistake.
Completely.
So, yeah, so that was like, all right, that's not a good idea. But, yeah, it was so... But the episode was so good, too, because they had the woman who had seen somebody on the roof, and they're drawing the picture, and they think, oh, is it Brody that showed up? Mm-hmm. But then they have the twist of the guy that he beats to death is not actually dead. Like, what the heck? Like, that's great. Now, how is he going to explain that his friend that he thought was dead is not dead?
The thing is that I think... Even now, because I knew that everything wasn't going to be as simple as it and straightforward as it seemed to be. Oh yeah, Brody is the guy, and this is happening exactly as we're expecting it to. That everything is pointing at him. But even now, I think it's still too simple. That he is completely in the clear. I think that there are still things that seem too simple even now. Because there are various clues that we've been given pointing at other people. And I don't think that those are going to go unresolved. I don't think it's all tied up so simply. Because, I mean, we've still been left with the question of who handed the guy the razor blade in the room.
Right.
Being told that, his friend is still alive doesn't resolve that question. And I think that there's still that issue left there, and it's we're still left with the question of, is it Brody still? And if it's not Brody, who's left? And I kind of have my suspicions, and if they're correct, I think it's so bizarre and weird, but they're there. And so I'm really excited to see where this show is going to go, because I think there's still a whole bunch of twists and turns that this thing could still take.
Right, and it's got renewed for another season, so, woohoo!
Yeah, I'm glad about that. I like where this is going.
I am too. Next up, we want to talk about Dexter, and we haven't talked about Dexter on the podcast in a while because no one else watched the show but me.
Really?
So I'm so glad that you're on the podcast this week. Because this, the last things that's been going on with Dexter have been fantastic. Like, the whole thing where all of a sudden his brother is showing up in his head telling him to do stuff. Oh, man, I was like, oh, this can't be good. Like, are they taking Dexter down this really dark road?
This is an interesting season overall. I mean, we've got this season where we've got, Hanks's son who's playing a serial killer. And this question of, he's got this mentor, and I'm still not entirely sure whether, his mentor, played by, Admiral Adama himself, whether he's actually really there or not. I'm still going back and forth in my head as to whether he's actually real or whether he's just... like Dexter has his father now his brother,
but
whether he's real, whether he's actually an existing person.
Because I see what you're saying, and that's actually a good idea, except for the police have a record of this guy, and that's the guy they're looking for.
Well, they have a record that he once existed, but I'm wondering if he's still existing or whether he's just... at some point he stopped being alive, and he's just the version of him that we see now is just a projection in his head. Because scenes, nobody else is ever making eye contact with him
except for the woman that got rescued. She talks about both of them.
She talks about two men having conversations with each other, and she thinks that one was had his knee in her back while the other one was pouring blood. But that could be one person.
I don't think so. I don't think you can. She could tell the difference between two people being in the room. Like, if he's talking to himself.
Talking to himself, exactly.
No, but you can tell if you're in the room with somebody, you can tell if two people are talking to themselves.
I'm not convinced yet. It could still be that he's real, or it could turn out that he's just a figment of Hanks's imagination, and I'm still going back and forth in my head between the two.
That's an interesting theory. I mean, I hadn't even thought about that, but that's an interesting theory, but I don't see it supported yet. Though I did think it was weird that nobody recognized him when they were out at that bar.
Yeah.
And there he was on the cover of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And he was out at the bar. And then, you know, no one recognized him at the bar. But then again, everybody there was drunk. So, whatever.
I mean, there's always a way you can get around it. But they've been very careful to construct scenes so that Dexter's never there where he could ID him. Other people never seem to make eye contact. You know, when Hanks was at a restaurant, the waitress never acknowledged that he was sitting with another person or tried to give the other person coffee. There's just these weird things that happen that give me the feeling that when Hanks is outside, he's always alone. He's the only one who thinks he's holding a conversation with somebody else. I could be wrong, but I just have that feeling, and that I just really am excited about that thought, and I'm interested to see it validated either way.
That yeah, I didn't even have that thought, so that's interesting. Well, because of course for me it's Edward James Olmos, so
mm-hmm.
I always think that he's there.
Yeah.
But
well, I think the character he's playing at least once existed, but I'm wondering whether he in fact still is alive or not.
That is interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I just kind of the last episode too. I was actually kind of worried that the series was just kind of filling things in, and like they'd run out of ideas, and we're just sticking in a filler episode. And I was actually very glad to see that that wasn't true. That what they were doing tied in with the rest of it.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, because I was thinking to myself, you know, exactly how are they going to convince us that the kid is really following in his father's footsteps, that he's now become, you know, Trinity 2, because he showed no signs of being like that when we saw him last. And I was glad to see that that was not the case, that they were staying true to the character the way we saw him, and that they brought that back to relate to Dexter and how he psychologically is now.
Right. I thought that was all pretty good, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like the
Except for that idiot guy who tried to steal Dexter's knives. I was like, you have stolen from... Like, really? You don't know this guy from anywhere. The fact that he has this crazy collection of knives should tell you to leave him alone.
Really? You know,
yeah.
I'm not super bright. You know this guy's not going to last through the rest of the episode.
Yeah. As soon as I saw, I was like, oh, you're dead now, dude. So, yeah, that was all pretty good. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's move on to Once Upon a Time.
Yeah. Again, nice progression of things through the episode. The whole show is actually a surprise to me because I was not expecting much. I've seen them try to carry on this concept before in earlier miniseries and other things, and it's always just kind of fallen on its face, and they're doing a great job with it with this particular series. So I'm continuing to be impressed with it and impressed with the acting and everything else. And of course, anything with Robert Carlyle is going to get me to tune in anyway. And they're doing a great job using him. He's just compulsively watchable. And
the only problem
love
I have
this double character.
Well, the only problem I have with the double character is when he's being Rumpelstiltskin. I don't like the voice he does. Like, that voice I find irritating.
it's deliberately over the top. He's supposed to be a wicked imp, and he's doing that.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me. I understand intellectually what he's doing, but it really bothers me. One, I like his nice Scottish lilt, and I'm just like, let the man talk, you know, and be done with it. Anyway, so, but I mean, I think the show is doing a good job. I really, like, this week's episode was interesting because Emma finally kind of finds her place in the town. She takes the job, and she's going to be like a deputy now, but I kind of feel like they're doing that to keep an eye on her more than anything else. Because I never trusted that sheriff, because every time you see the sheriff, he's with the Wicked Witch.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're like, okay, sure, now they're sleeping together. You know that now.
Yeah, he's literally in bed with her. You know what they haven't resolved, though, is who he is in the other world, and I'd like to see where that goes.
Right. Somebody said the big bad wolf. Someone said that thinks it's, he's the big bad wolf.
That would be logical. I was kind of thinking about that. I'd like to see if that turns out to be true.
So, and I still love that kid. Like, that kid actor is really doing a good job. Like, every time he gets excited or sad or whatever, I'm with him for the ride. So, I think, again, great casting.
Yeah, they did a good job on that.
Yeah, so, and the storyline with the baby thing and... The only thing, the big thing, is that Emma has promised Rumpelstiltskin a favor, which is really bad.
Kind of going to be something she's going to regret.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that's interesting is that it seems to be that, and it goes against what you'd assume, is that he seems to be the one who actually remembers what went on in the previous world than the evil queen.
Well, what makes sense is because, remember, it's his spell. Right, so it totally makes sense.
Yeah, but it's like it goes against your expectations, because in the pilot episode, you know, I think people, including me, you know, we're thinking, oh, well, she's going to be the one who remembers what happened in the other world, and I think instead she's just not a really great person, and she's going by an agenda that she has in this world.
Right.
But she doesn't actually remember where that comes from. He's the one who knows where all of this, what all of this is about, and what's at stake.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Let's wrap that up. Next up is Walking Dead. And this week's episode was, well, I actually feel like it was false advertisement, because I was kind of excited with the whole Merle was coming back, and I was like, oh, he's going to want his revenge, and it's going to be great. And no.
Psych.
No, it was just hallucinating. As soon as his brother got hurt, I was like, oh, Merle's just going to be in his head. And he totally was. It's like, boo. However, I really do like that character. I've gotten to where I really like him. You know,
are you talking about the brother or Merle?
Not Merle, not at all. Merle is scary, but I really like the brother who I can't think of. Daryl. Daryl is his name.
Daryl.
Yeah, I really.
Merle and Daryl.
Yeah. Well, what do you want?
Poor Daryl too. He can't catch a break.
Right.
First he gets thrown off the horse and jabbed with his own arrow and almost eaten by a walker, and manages to pull himself all the way up out of the ditch and drag himself home half dead. And he nearly gets shot in the head for it.
Well, because the whole half dead part is the problem. Because he's literally dragging himself home, and he looks like he's dead. He's covered in blood. He's got blood all over his mouth. He looks like a walker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I like the whole thing.
Thought she was a crap shot.
Exactly. But actually, I'm impressed she even got that close, considering she's never really shot a rifle before, so that's kind of impressive. But I liked how they hid the string of ears. It's like, he's got ears around his neck. He's like, let's hide the ears. Let's keep that to ourselves.
And I was like, what? No one needs to see that but us, really. Shh. It's okay.
So all of that was good, and now we understand a little bit about why the old guy was like, oh yeah, you guys can't stay here, because obviously they're doing something. We don't know what the heck they're doing. I cannot picture a scenario in which it makes sense to keep
a barn full of walkers.
I cannot, I don't get that. Like, I've been racking my brain.
I have this Shaun of the Dead image in my head that, you know, he just kind of uses those as, you know, surplus labor.
No. They're not bright enough for that. So,
just kind of ties them up to kind of like an oxen rig and has the bull things.
Well, how do you go in there and only grab one? Like, that... that all makes no sense. Like, I don't understand what the heck he's doing. And it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's super dangerous.
I mean, really, it seriously makes no sense.
Yeah. And they better have a really good explanation next week on why he's doing it. It better be impressive.
Something better than, well, you know, some people collect stamps.
Oh, and then the whole pregnancy thing I think is kind of stupid. I don't really necessarily care about that. But I do like the fact that the wife called that dude, what's his name? She called him on the whole, oh, I'll do anything to protect you and the kid, and I'll do whatever, and I'll be super practical. And
yeah,
she was like,
I
like that she called him on it. She was like, look, we're not your responsibility anymore, so we're not your excuse.
Mm-hmm. For basically, Shane has been pissing me off for a long time now. I mean, the attempted rape from last season.
Right.
You know, I was just kind of, just sort of kind of maybe getting over that. And then he goes and kills Otis.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but he's really dead to me.
That's what I was about to say. He's dead to me. Yeah. And I mean, he's just not a good person.
No, he's really not. He pretends to be a good person, but he's really a creep.
Well, and the thing is because of the situation that they're in now, that veneer of pretending to be a good person is just totally coming away. Like,
mm-hmm.
People see who you are, really. And really, he is not a good person. He is not somebody I want on my team. I don't want him with me.
Especially alone and supposedly watching your back.
Right. I don't want him with me. And I think that Rick is just now starting to see that. Because they've known each other since, I think, high school. So
yeah.
He's always thought that he was a good guy and he had his back and whatever. But now he's starting to see, well, maybe not. But he hasn't seen everything.
The thing is, Rick is who Shane pretends to be.
Right. Right. Anyway. Okay, so thumbs up this week's episode.
Definitely.
I am actually, you know, I think we got 13 episodes this season, or is it 10? So I'm excited to see where they go. Even though this week, I think, because we were talking about they have less and less money for walkers, I was going to say we only saw two this week, but that's not including everybody in the bar. So, never mind. We saw a bunch of walkers this week. So, yay.
It's true. Yay.
Next up is Two Broke Girls. So, this week's episode really put me on the whole, I'm not sure if I'm ever going to watch this show again. Like, I was bored. It was a weird episode.
It's kind of bored, too.
Yeah, I was bored, like, through over half the episode because I don't care about, what's her name? I totally
Kat Denny.
I was thinking of
brunette.
Yeah. I don't care about her character as far as the boy. Like, the guy...
No, but I like her character.
Yeah. I like her character.
I like her when she's
giving
the blonde girl... I mean, I like her main... Her dynamics and stuff.
Right,
I like.
That's fine. But I don't care about her and this guy
artist
that...
boyfriend thing.
And the boyfriend that's not dating her or whatever and don't care about it at all.
I agree.
So, the whole episode, hemming around whether or not he broke up with his girlfriend so they could actually date and they keep making out. I'm like, don't care.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
The only time I laughed was the physical comedy part when they started stuffing cupcakes in their mouths. And it was very I Love Lucy.
It was kind of I Love Lucy, yeah. But I don't mind that. I think that's fine.
That's
I
fine,
that
but
funny.
I'm saying that was the only time
I
laughed.
No, I can see you might be out. Like,
might be.
See, I have a love for sitcoms, and so it would be hard for me once I've committed to a show for a sitcom to stop watching it just because I just like sitcoms and stuff. And also, I will say this, like, sitcoms in general, they don't necessarily have long-running stories, like The Office does and stuff, but, like, I think maybe, so what's going on with you right now is you're kind of like, I don't know, Two Broke Girls, but if next season, if they get a second season, if next season they hire new writers and they come up with really good ideas, the show can be good again. Like, that's one of the nice things about a sitcom. It really is... Very
all
much
about
writing. Like, what do they come up with, you know, and everything. So
I agree.
It's not great. No, I agree. It's I mean I don't love it or anything, and it's not the first thing I watch. But I'll still watch it, you know.
Nah.
And this episode, yeah, it was all right. I yeah.
It just hasn't... There's nothing about it that makes me... Like, literally the only reason I watched it was because I knew you were going to watch it.
Right.
So that was it. And so I was like, oh, we'll have something to talk about. Anyway, next up, you wanted to talk about Glee, and I have not seen... You've been out of Glee. The whole season.
The big thing in Glee is that... I think you know that's Santana lesbian.
Yes.
The two groups, the Santana Mercedes group is now versus the regular Glee group. And what they did in this episode is they're going to do a mashup. So the meaning they're actually taking, so not only a mashup of songs, which is what they do, but also a mashup of the group. But the big thing in the plot was that they're doing the president, who's going to, you know, so it's Kurt and Brittany and all those things. And that was pretty good, like pretty emotional. And who's the guy's name? Is it Finn?
Yeah.
Santana was just being really mean to all the Glee people. And eventually he was just like, you know, I think you're really mean because you just need to come out of the closet. And he says it in the hallway.
Does
and
he know?
Well, yeah, clearly he knew. So he just like completely is just like, you know, I think you're a big coward and everything, you know. It's a pretty good scene, but...
That's not his place to do
it. It's not his place to say. And then... At the end, Sue has been running for, like, some political thing, and somebody was like, they call in Santana into Sue's office, and it's like, it's Kurt's dad, Sue, and Santana's like, what's going on? Oh, and I think Mr. Schuster. But basically, someone did a promo, a commercial going, you know, oh, Sue Sylvester says she's for families, but why does she have a lesbian cheerleader? And so now everybody's going to know. So at the end, they do this big mashup of Adele's Rumor Has It, and then the big song that everyone knows, the There's a Fight, you know, the big one. And so it's her singing it, and at the end, like...
They've already done Rolling in the Deep.
Right, but it was like a mashup. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Also, Santana and Mercedes was very emotional. And at the very end, like, the last shot was Finn doesn't realize what he's done, and she slaps him. Like, and it's just a very cold, like, no music, just a slap, and there's everyone's face, and then boom, black. And I was like, oh, like it was pretty good though. It was a good emotional, like,
because I like Santana,
but she is really mean. Like, she's one of those characters, like a Sue Sylvester, where it's funny that she's mean to characters and I'm laughing, but really she's pretty cruel, you know? So part of me's like, when Finn's like, why don't you just come out of the closet? Even though it's not his place, a part of me kind of liked it because you kind of like someone who's so mean kind of being put in their place. But on the other end, now that it's escalated, it's like, oh, that's really terrible and everything. So I don't know. That was good. That was a good episode. So thumbs up. You know,
I don't think I'm coming back to Glee, but that still sounds like, yeah, that's not bad.
Well, you know, my big thing on Glee was it used to be, do I like the songs they're performing? And now on Glee, I mean, the show's run, it's been on for so long now that unless they come up with something... Usually the songs aren't my favorite part. It's really just the characters. But this one, the mashup was pretty good. I was like, oh, it's a pretty good scene.
You know? Well, I was at the point where I was fast-forwarding to the songs. So
I do not do that. You and I have discussed that. I do not believe in fast-forwarding anything. Even if it's terrible, because I want to... Well, unless I'm not going to talk about it later. I feel like I should see it.
Well, that's why I stopped watching it.
Well, right.
So what did you think of Glee, Allison?
I thought it was a good episode. You know, I'm sort of... One of these people are on their fence with Glee still because, you know, it's like every other episode is great and every other episode is a mess. But I thought that this was one of their better episodes. And, they're still doing the whole political thing with Sue and you know, her crazy ad campaign. And this time they showed how it came back and better. And I thought that was nice where they showed how, you know, her nasty campaign actually affected the students and a student who she actually cared about. And of course, you know, Santana was affected by this. And so I love the way they worked that in with Santana and her issues and that finally coming to a head.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. So I thought overall it was a great episode. I loved the dodgeball thing at the beginning. sort of brought back nightmares of dodgeball.
I hated dodgeball.
I love dodgeball.
Yes, Kurt comes out. Actually, that's part of the thing. For Kurt's presidency, he actually wants to ban dodgeball.
I think dodgeball is fantastic.
Well, he's basically saying that if you think about it, though, dodgeball is kind of like a weird form of bullying. Like that's
it is. It's totally.
That's what it is. It's basically you single somebody out. and you physically want to hurt them. That is basically exactly what the game is. And I was like,
that's not how I played it.
Weren't trying to single people out?
No, I never did. No, I wasn't
single. You did not understand the basis of this game, clearly.
Apparently.
Yeah, clearly. Like, that's the game.
I wanted to win. The game was to win, and I would catch it. If people threw it at me, I would catch it, or I would dodge it. That was trying to win the game.
But you still have to. If you catch it, you still have to hit somebody else.
Yeah, but I was just trying to get them out. I wasn't trying to bully them. I think television makes the game way more traumatic than it actually is.
I hated it when I was a kid, and that's way before Glee and stuff. I hated dodgeball.
I knew people who were trying to kill other people, including me.
Always felt like I was singled out and everything. Yeah. Like I was, hated it. Like so,
Well, I never.
That definitely hit a realistic chord with me.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Okay, so.
But we're here to tell you it gets better.
Oh, that is true. Apparently, okay. Next up. I wanted to talk about NCIS for a second because I talked about it last week. It was part one. And actually, part one was way better than part two, which is usually the case. But this week's episode, the whole premise was that this woman goes missing in Iraq. And at first they think she's dead and they're going to bring her body back to her father. And this whole fathers and daughters thing that Gibbs has to go through because he's grieving. Well, he's never stopped grieving about his daughter's death. So it really hits a spot for him. And so he takes it upon himself to go to, is it Iraq or Afghanistan? I forget which one, where they went. So he takes it upon himself to go there and go bring the girl back himself. And that was not anywhere near as good because it basically just ends up being a firefight. Like part one was very emotional. They had all these flashbacks. And you really got to see more inside of Gibbs's head. This week, they had like one or two flashbacks, but the flashbacks were literally you find out someone he befriended in boot camp ends up dead. That's it. That's all. That was the point. Really? No. That didn't do anything. And so like we never see the girl again. But it's basically Gibbs's first loss at war, I guess. But didn't really. It didn't really have the emotional resonance, and I'm going to say it's because his son played the part, and his son has played in two things. One, this episode, and then another episode where he played young Gibbs. So he is not a seasoned actor at all, so the emotional resonance that you needed for that just wasn't there. Mm. And then just them being in Iraq fighting this woman, and there's a firefight, and that's it. Just like, So, part one, way better. Part two, bit disappointing.
That's a shame.
Next up, you wanted to talk about American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Go for it.
The whole series is actually put together incredibly well. It's got terrific writing, terrific acting, the production values, clearly they spent a huge amount of money on this, and it's actually, you know, turned out to be compulsively watchable. You know, I mean, I'm still tuning in, and they've still got, you know, a lot of things that are pulling me along, a lot of unanswered questions that I'm interested in viewing and, you know, seeing the resolution to. And this last episode was typically great. You know, there was a lot of great stuff happening, and the only problem that I have with American Horror Story as a whole is, even though I recommend people should tune in and watch because it's worth viewing, but it's like the same thing that I have with pretty much all haunted house stories, which is, why don't you leave? And it's made especially bad because you've got like an entire series. You know, it's not just 2 hours in a movie theater. You've got weeks to go on, and you know, they just don't move out that door. And usually,
do they have some reason why the family needs to stay?
Well, it's like, you know, usually they try to say, okay, well, you know, the doors have been magically blocked, or there's a madman who's blocked them in a maze, you know, and it booby-trapped all the doors, but no, there's nothing like that. They come and go whenever they want to. And the only reason that they haven't left is because, you know, apparently they haven't found a buyer for the home yet. And it's like, I'm sorry, but you could just stay in a hotel in the meantime. You probably could if you had a brain in your head. And they just don't. They just won't leave. And I mean, they've had conversations with ghosts. They've had dead people walk in and out and make threatening comments to them. They've had a home invasion where people were trying to reenact a mass murder, you know, using the family as props. And yet they still won't leave this house. It's crazy.
Tom, who does the podcast previously, he's done a couple for a couple weeks. His thing is he said he was out on American Horror Story because he thought that the overall story, the long story, he said was kind of muddled. Mm-hmm. He couldn't see a good through line for it. Mm-hmm. And he just was like, he wasn't impressed by the writing as far. He said for like standalones, some of the standalones are okay. Mm-hmm. But overall arc, he was like, makes no sense. He had nothing to grab onto. And so he was like, I'm done.
Well, that's true in a sense, is that there's the fact is you don't know quite where this is going to be going other than someplace really bad. Because nothing else has ever ended well in this house. Jessica Lange is in this, and her performance is absolutely stunning, and her character is fascinating to watch, and you want to find out really what's going on with her and what role she ultimately plays, because she seems to have some kind of controlling force in this house, and you wonder why that should be the case. So you want to find out kind of what's going on with her.
Okay.
It is worth watching, but it is not perfect.
Next up, we want to talk about Modern Family.
Great. The show's always good, but, I mean, yeah.
Well, this
wasn't the best episode ever, but I mean, like...
No, but the great thing is Cameron's sleek clowns. Like, yeah,
that was fantastic.
What does
Which
that
is
mean?
Arguably, that's the first... That's before the cold open, right? That's before...
Yeah.
That is arguably the best gag in the entire thing, but that was just so... I mean, like, if I was Mitch, that would freak me out. He's like, right, because he's talking about, oh, people sleepwalk... But I don't do that. And then they cut. He's in the fade. It's just it's awesome. Yeah, it's really creepy, though. But yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that's a little strange. A lot strange.
Yeah, yes, yes.
So,
wait,
yeah.
What was going on with Phil?
Phil was hardly in it because this week was all about the siblings and which one thinks that their mom is being replaced by Gloria.
Right, so that was
the main thing.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And then there's the scene where Claire... gets into, like, I think...
Phil is the masseuse.
Oh, right. Oh, no, right, because he's got a real estate deal. Or no, there's a real estate thing where he might go to another company. These friends of his.
Right.
And so he's giving Jay...
a massage.
And I think Jay says, I love you. And of course, because I've seen sitcoms so long, the moment that happens and then when Phil's like, I have to go, this is really big. Of course I know that's not what it is, but of course Jay thinks that's what it is, that, oh my God, now he's never going to let this go.
But I mean, truthfully, Jay has a right to be concerned.
Yes.
But the whole masseuse thing was still a little creepy. Like, he walks in the room, there's candles lit, and he's got the outfit on, and he's like, please disrobe and get under the blanket. I was like, what the heck?
You know, I've never actually had a massage, but... because of television, I always assume that's what it's like.
It's funny because
it's these two characters.
I have had a massage.
It is like that.
It is like that, except
the lower lighting, the candles.
Except they don't stand in the room while they want you to disrobe and get under the blanket.
Oh, okay.
So they leave the room. And the fact that Phil didn't leave the room and just kind of turned his back was like, ew.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was all funny. And I liked, is it Claire? Was talking, you know, her whole thing, like, you're not my mom, and look at you trying to cuddle up to mom, and it's just like we were kids, and then she cuddles up to her dad, and she's like, oh my God, I have dad issues.
Right, drinking the beer with him.
Yeah.
And that was good. Yeah.
That was all pretty good. And she's like, all this time, he had no comment through her whole rant.
Do you have any friends that don't like Modern Family?
I know people who don't watch Modern Family.
I have, like, this one friend of mine who loves comedies and stuff, and she really doesn't like it, and one of the things she really doesn't like, she
doesn't like Claire?
No, she really doesn't like the stereotype of Gloria. She thinks it's too over the top. She thinks it's offensive. And I'm pretty big on, I'm a pretty PC guy, but I'm like, yeah, but Mitch and Cam are very open. I mean, like, the show feels pretty balanced with that. I don't think, like, I never, so you don't think Gloria's offensive?
Well,
I mean, I know she's over the top.
Like, I am not Hispanic, so I cannot speak to that specifically. However, I will say that, you know, I mean, I like it, the show, and
yeah,
I think
my friends
like the show.
Yeah, so, but yeah, good episode.
Yeah, it was great. I actually thought it was one of the best ones. Next up, we want to talk about Person of Interest. So, I know you are not a fan of Person of Interest. I, however, am a fan of Person of Interest. Let's just talk about this specific episode, though. This week, we have a guy who is a hitman that, and the actor, something Dale. I forgot his first name. But he's a really good actor in that every time I see him, I never know what nationality he is because he's always doing a different accent. And every time he does the different accent, it's really good. So I was like, is he British? Is he Australian? I don't know what he is. But he's always a really good actor, and I bought, like, everything that he was selling in this week's episode. You know, he was like...
Yeah, he was very good.
Yeah. His whole thing was he was in a prison somewhere for the last 20 years, and his team sold him out, so he's going about killing everyone. And the prison, all that time in prison made him very, very hard. And but then you see
the, well, not that he was a great guy beforehand, he was, right. He was a paid assassin, you know, so,
well, he wasn't a paid assassin, they said he was a patriot, they told him
I mean, he called himself a patriot. Well, he was an assassin for the state.
Well, let's be clear, there's a difference between a mercenary paid assassin
he was not a mercenary.
Right, he was doing what he for King and Country and all that, and then King and Country held him out to dry and put him in prison. Which, you know, if your government says you're doing this for your country and then they sell you out to go to prison, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much where he was coming from, but I liked how it all wrapped up, where he finds out not only is his wife not dead, but he has a daughter, and that just totally just breaks down everything that he thought he was doing. And that was all that was really pretty good. And I actually, what's interesting about it is I didn't feel like the team really didn't have much to do as far as Finch and Reese. They had a quick flashback for Reese to find out how he started, to show that it was similar. And that was kind of interesting, but it was so much more about the other guy than about them that I got drawn into his story. Though I did think it was funny where Reese and that dude have their hand-to-hand combat. That dude went completely old school on him and just kicked his butt. I thought that was pretty great. So that was good. I thought it was a good episode. So what'd you think?
I thought it was a better episode than the usual, definitely. I think it certainly was better than the week before where, you know, we were forced to sit through really a kind of tedious thing, which also had the Geico spokesman in it, which I could not possibly sit through seriously. So this was a much better episode, and I liked the espionage tactics that the guy was using. I liked his revenge plot. That was nice. That always works well in a series, you know. That's the old revenge thing, you know. So
I should
that
get
always
my
works
revenge.
Well.
Yeah.
And it's something you can get behind, you know. It's always interesting to see why he's taking revenge, you know, what the impetus is for that kind of thing.
Well, and my thing is, I wasn't really necessarily even cheering, but once you find out the story, normally you want him to stop the bad guy from killing people, and I was like, you know what? You can totally let this guy kill these guys, you know?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of times with a revenge story, when you find out why they're doing it, you kind of change sides, and that's what makes it interesting. It's what gives it a twist. It's like, yeah, you know what? He's got a point there. And that was the case here too. But you know, the problem with this show continues to be with me that it's still focusing on a character that I don't find all that terribly interesting, which is the John Reese character. I still think that the most interesting character is still being relegated to the sidelines, which is the Finch Finn character.
I don't think
and
he's
I still want to see more of him. I mean, they gave us that one episode that showed his some of his backstory, and I keep tuning in really to see more of that, and I keep being frustrated that I'm not getting it.
Well, I don't think that Finch is a side character by any means. He has, as far as I can tell, he has pretty much equal screen time. Not really.
Not equal screen time by any means. And I think that he's much more interesting than Reese. I'd like to see more of him.
Oh, I mean, I agree with you. I think he's a great character, but I don't know. I mean, because every time you see Reese, Finch is right there talking in his ear. Like, so you never, there's never one without the other. So, in my opinion, I think it's pretty equal. But anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about Community.
That was okay.
I agree.
A big Community fan, but it was the concept was funny, which is that we mostly see the principal, which we barely see, so that's kind of interesting. I don't think he's a bad actor. I like him. Basically, the idea is that it starts off with a really old commercial that they've done. Actually, I like the old commercials.
It was pretty funny.
They're like, oh, this new one, we can run that for 16 years or whatever. I like that. But basically, Abed is filming how they're going to make the new commercial. And
He's making a documentary.
Right, he's making a documentary. And the big joke, of course, is that he's saying that it's going to be, he's like, you know, did you ever see the documentary Hearts of Darkness, which is about Coppola making Apocalypse Now? He's like, it's way better than Apocalypse Now. Like, so in concept, I was like, This is kind of a cool idea.
Well,
I was like, this could be funny.
Apocalypse Now by the end of the movie.
Right, and he goes crazy and everything. But yeah, I don't know. I think the highlight was, I did like that. And I would say the highlight also was, I did like, there's a part where Jeff doesn't want to be in it. And the principal is like, you're going to be in it and you're going to play the principal. And so Jeff feels like, well, I'm going to be really flamboyant and I'm going to like make the principal see it. And he's going to hate it and he's going to keep it. Of course, he loves the performance. I liked that aspect. And then Chang is the understudy.
Yeah,
right?
Chang is the understudy pretending to be him, pretending to be the principal. So
right.
Like it's like three layers.
The blonde Chinese guy or whatever. Yeah, but really the episode didn't do. Yeah,
it was.
I thought it was pretty bad.
Actually,
yeah, it was not.
Yeah, the thing about Community, the thing that's weird, and even though I'm upset that it's not hiatus, but the last like two or three episodes I thought have been bad. The one last week I thought was bad.
The Halloween was pretty good.
Last week was the moving into the...
Oh, I like that one.
I didn't like it.
Oh, I like that one. That was way better than this one. Because at least you get the emotional thing at the end.
It didn't really work for me. But anyway, so I thought the last two episodes of Community were blah. But I don't want the show to go away. I still like the show. Unlike when I said Two Broke Girls, if that show went away, I wouldn't care at all. So
right, and I wouldn't care if I still watch Two Broke Girls, but yeah, it doesn't matter. If it goes away, I don't care. You know, so.
All right, next up, we want to talk about Big Bang.
Well, the promos were showing that Sheldon asks Penny out.
Right.
And so it was like, what does this mean? And of course...
Misdirection.
Right, of course. I figured it wasn't perfectly what we thought. And the episode, of course, is that Amy Farrah Fowler gets asked out by the... Is he like the manager of the comic book store?
Yeah.
The guy who runs the comic book store, right, or whatever. Who's also a nerd. And she goes out. She's going to go out with him. And then, of course, Sheldon freaks out and everything.
The thing that's a trip is he actually follows protocol. He's like, he asks his friend, is this your girlfriend? Do you mind if I go out with her?
Oh, that's true. He does do all that, right?
He totally does everything the way he's supposed to do it, right? And
Gets the shaft by the end.
Yeah. And Sheldon's like, he doesn't need my permission. I don't own Amy. And of course, she'd never go out with him. And then, of course, when she does go out with him, Sheldon completely can't handle it. Mr. I'm not in a relationship with Amy, but I don't want anybody else to be with Amy.
Right.
Like, what is that? As a girl, that bothers me because that happens. I did think it was cute that he finally does kind of ask her. He's like, he does ask her out and let's go steady.
Right.
Even writes out a contract, which she thinks is romantic, and I think it's creepy.
But you're not saying the best part of the episode.
What's that?
The best part of the episode was when, as we know, Sheldon always goes to Penny's door, and he goes, Penny. And this time, if he did it, she's like, who do we love? She's on the other side. Who do we love, Penny? Who do we love, Penny? And I was like, that was awesome. Like, that just, I just... a big smile on my face and everything.
That's
like,
true, because she knows that he has
who do we love?
He can't stop himself from doing it, right?
So that was awesome.
She could say anything on the other side of that door.
Right. So I thought that was funny. But
that was funny.
But no, good episode. I mean, yeah.
Well, I like when he asked Penny out, actually. That was pretty good.
That was a good moment, too.
Because she just looked at him like, okay, so what's going on here?
Right. Well, she knows, obviously.
Well, and her thing is she knew it's not because he's interested in her. Right. And then his thing was, what was it? He thought she gave some scenario that she was just describing him and Amy, and he was like, oh, you mean the undercurrent love between me and you? And she was like, what?
Oh, that's right. Which actually I felt was, again, a good, like, fan thing.
Right.
Because there are a lot of people who really want them to be together and everything. That's so true. That's a great moment that they're, like, recognizing that. We're like, right. Oh, you know, so. Yeah.
It's a good episode. I mean.
Allison, you don't watch Big Bang Theory?
No, I don't.
I mean, I'm not saying it's the best show ever made, but if you like geek culture and you can like the normal sitcom format,
it's pretty good. It's just one of those
shows that kind of got away from me. You know, it's can't watch everything.
And I got to say, it was like, Reaper, Chuck, and Big Bang Theory all started around the same time, and I thought Reaper's okay because I love the guy playing the devil.
Right.
But the show was all right, but that guy was good. I really didn't like Chuck because I thought he's not really a nerd. He's obviously a good-looking guy.
But ironically, his
friend should have been the lead of the show, the guy who works at Best Buy.
Except ironically, he really is a nerd.
Well, maybe perhaps in real life, yes.
The actor,
he's like a good-looking guy. I like how... You know, and then you've got the blonde girl who's obviously like a model. And I liked how in Big Bang Theory, like, they're pretty nerdy. I'm like, okay, they're nerdy, you know?
That's true.
I just feel like Chuck's more like hipster nerdy. It's like, oh, he's got a white t-shirt. And you know, it was like, eh, not really. But I know people love Chuck, so I watched part of the first season, so it's got millions of fans.
Well, what's
so,
funny, you know, I think, about Big Bang, my cousin, who only watches I was gonna say the common denominator shows. What it surprised me that she likes Big Bang. She actually is completely obsessed with the show now, and she actually knows sci-fi trivia because of Big Bang. And I think
really,
she I knew. Thinking, hold up, huh. I said the TARDIS. She knew what I was talking about. I was like, oh my god, like what the heck? And she's like, I watch Big Bang over and over again. And I was like, wow, that is weird. So I actually can say geeky stuff to her now, and she knows what I'm referring to.
That's interesting. I mean, it's a CBS, and it's a big show, so... But you're right. I feel like Big Bang Theory was a show that somehow was just made for me and my geek friends.
Exactly.
And you're right, and it clearly has a broader appeal right. now. Like, so.
But that's just so... That was just so strange. And that was just... That was the weirdest conversation I ever had. But anyway, moving on. Next up, let's talk about Supernatural.
Which I thought was hilarious. It was. I guess you could say this was their Thanksgiving episode because they featured turducken.
Yes, and also a lot of eating. A lot of eating.
Yes. A lot of feasting in this episode. That was kind of really creepy and disgusting, and at the same time hilarious.
Right. Well, Dean was in a way... I've never seen Dean behave the way he had in any other episode. Because he was like, hi. It was so weird.
That was really funny. He just didn't care about anything. And he didn't care that he didn't care.
All that was... And I like that they're still mentioning Cass. So that gives me hope that we will see Cass again.
Yeah, I keep waiting for that. It's been a very Cass-free season, and that's sad. But they do name him. They do mention him. So that's a good thing.
Yes. Give me my cast back, please. But, of course, the big elephant in the room is, you know, Bobby has now figured out what the plan is. He looked at the plans, figured out what they're going to do, and immediately gets shot in the head.
Yeah. And they ended it in the worst possible place.
Well, and the thing is they have put Bobby in danger so many times, and I'm always so tense when he's almost dead, except because they've done it so many times, this time I totally wasn't worried about him at all until you see the hat, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, normally, I'd be like, oh, they left him behind. Oh, that can't be good. But this time, because they've done it so much, I was like, oh, Bobby's fine. Bobby's totally fine. Bobby's fine. Bobby has a bullet in his head. I was like, what?
Oh. And the thing is, normally you could just say, "Ah, Cass will come in and fix him."
No.
No, not so much.
No.
Yeah.
And then they showed the preview, and I was like, "You better not freaking kill Bobby. There will be blood." and the Leviathans, I apparently the whole whatever cleaner stuff that they're using,
Borax,
it works pretty well on the lowly guys, but the big boss can apparently walk around without half his head, so...
It just annoys him.
Yeah. The other ones were pretty much...
It just makes him mad.
Right. Other ones down for the count? This dude? Nope. So they're going to need a bigger box.
In fact, the other ones may actually come back again, because I got the impression that even if you burn them to a cinder, unless you cut their heads off afterward, they can even recover from that.
Well, they can recover from getting their heads cut off, so...
Well, I think the whole idea is that you have to burn them with the borax and take their heads.
Okay.
And the combination of the two will ensure they're not coming back again. But unless you do both... They can still recover.
Yeah.
Because the, I think...
And bury them in separate places really deep in the ground.
Really? And pour salt on them.
Yes. All that.
Yes.
So I like what was great is when they found that creature in the woods and Bobby, like, used his Jedi mind power to shoot it. And they were like, wow, nice shot, Bobby. And they're trying to figure out what this creature is. And they're like, only one regular bullet killed it. I guess, like, what kind of creature is that? And then it jumps up.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I was like, nice.
And then they just unloaded their entire magazines at it.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And then that doctor's like, oh, yeah, it's the side effect. Oh, and they bibbed him? And I was like, what
they
is that, man?
What is bibbing?
Oh, that's so disgusting.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
Oh, that was so disgusting, man.
I'm guessing we won't be seeing him again either.
Well, no I'm going to go with that too. But I'm like, so he ate himself. Well, I'm like, what was the alternative? Like, what were they going to do to him that was worse than that? I'm like, dude, just kill me. I'm not going to do that. So I was like, what was the alternative that was worse than bibbing? Like, come on. But yeah, that was a really good episode. I'm much more happy about this one versus last week, so thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely.
Next up, we want to talk about Fringe. And this week's episode, I think I might have hit my limit of this orange universe. it was because last week he's like, you know what? This isn't my universe. These aren't the people I love. I need to get back home. And when he said that, I was kind of like, you know what? I agree with you. Let's do that. And so this week, we're still with them.
Yeah.
And I just I don't like these people anymore.
Well, I think that this was also very much a filler episode. I got that feeling. It was very standalone, very filler-like. And that was also contributing to the fact of, you know, can we just move along, please? You know, there wasn't anything particularly interesting from an arc point of view other than the fact that it had that little bit with Olivia. And
she's being drugged.
The answer to the headaches at the end.
Right.
Yeah, letting you know that Nina isn't really quite so cozy and sweet in this universe either.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. They're like, oh, they're making her really nice in this universe. Yes,
yeah,
I took the kids.
So
yeah, I took the kids in so I could further my experiments. All right. And then there, one of the main things for me that made me not want to be in this universe anymore is Peter giving Lincoln advice on how to date Olivia was just weirded me out.
That was creepy.
Yeah, that just weirded me out.
Here's something that'll help you date my girlfriend.
I was like, no. No, dude, no. There's no way that makes that's cool and that's all right. No. Yeah. And then, of course, now it looks like Olivia just ditched him because she didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, who makes a date for 3 o'clock in the morning at a diner? Like, that's just weird. But yeah, I thought that I was like, oh, they're going to not date. Well, at least they won't date because I kind of like them together, but I like Peter with her better, truthfully. So there
yeah.
you go.
Well, the thing is the previews, the most frustrating thing for me were the previews for the upcoming stuff. And unfortunately, that we won't be seeing for like the next 6 weeks.
Right. It's like
and
in January.
That looked very exciting and that was very promising, but it's so far away.
If in January. Like,
yeah.
Oh, come on.
Like, thanks a lot.
Yeah, that looks great. Okay, so wrapping up, that's all we have for this week. Thanks you guys for listening. Thanks for you guys for participating this week. And if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And listen to us on getthepointradio.com and kryptonradio.com. Talk to you guys next week.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.